Christian priorities, we always try to keep our focus on things above. And in a very selfish world in which we live in, that's really difficult to do, because the world always teaches us it's about what? Me. And that's tough. I know in my world that's the way it is. And being a football coach right now, and we've got the Super Bowl today, which is a big deal out there. What do you think their focus is going to be on today when they play the Super Bowl? Is it going to be preparation or winning? It's going to be focused on winning. That's what it's good. That's where the focus is. When I coach a football game on Friday night, even though it's a game, where does my focus go? On winning that game. But what enables us to win? What will it enable either the Patriots or the who are they playing again?
Seahawks.
on the Seahawks and the Patriots today, what's going to enable them or help them, assist them to win is going to be the what?
Preparation.
Absolutely. Well, taking that same mindset, what's going to enable us to keep our priorities as Christians? Preparation. You know, when things get tough, adversity strikes, we can lose our focus. That's where we're going to go. It's going to go back to our preparation. There's two things. If you recall last week, I used the FedEx example. And if you got anything out of this deal last week, I'm sure it's funny. I know most of you know where the arrow is, but that kind of changed my perspective many years ago, because we know my focus doesn't look at FedEx anymore. It's now at the arrow. I see those planes flying over. I never see the FedEx.
You see it yet.
That's all you see now is the arrow, or you see the spoon in the thing. And I said, you know, that's kind of the way life is. When we choose to change the way we look at things, the things that we look at will always change. And in setting priorities, that's the way that kind of deal goes. Also, you know about the arrow. It's like, kind of like life. The arrow means we always are going to deliver as Christians through the tough times, and it's always moving what? Forward. Richard gave us the example last week. We're talking about looking ahead, and we use the windshield and the rearview mirror concept. There's a reason things are that way. Today, I always say start with the end in mind. When you're setting a priority or a goal, you always start where? With the what in mind? The end in mind. You know, my New Year's resolution every year is to what? Work out, because I visualize, you know, that slim body and that toned view. But that's all. I never get there. I don't know what the problem is. But when we start a workout deal, it's always with the end in mind. We have something that we want to accomplish, and we can visualize that. And that's kind of, I guess, why I'm a visual learner. Today, I want you to start with this mindset. We always behave like we believe. Fair? We're always going to behave like we believe. It works that way. That's just the way it works. And priorities will always dictate your actions. Most all the time. Wherever your priorities are, that's the way your life's going to roll. It's going to dictate it. And so I want you to start with that. I've got three questions we want to try to answer this morning. How are the values of a follower of Christ different from others? How are the values? What's a value?
Belief system.
What?
Belief system.
A belief system. Absolutely. It's the way we think. It's the way we behave. How are the values of a follower of Christ different from other folks? Anybody want to kick us off here?
You're going to put Christ first.
You're going to put Christ first, back to Colossians 3:2.
Your whole life is different.
Your whole life's different, okay?
We desire to be obedient.
We desire to be obedient.
We look at things differently.
We look at things differently, absolutely. Because the world, you know, Satan's out there and alive and well, right?
Amen.
He's pushing us. He's all over us. And he knows how easy it is for us to lose focus. And he takes advantage of that, I have no doubt. And so when you do a study and a lesson on priorities, I'm telling you, everything you're going, oh boy, you start sweating. You're thinking, man, that's I've got to change the way I look at things a little bit here. Yes, ma'am?
You said think of the end first.
Think of the end first, absolutely. That's right. And, you know, I know for me personally, that helps me personally. And maybe those things, but we've thrown those. Those are all great answers, good concepts, great stuff to think about. Now, the number two, if someone could look at Romans 12 or in verse 11, if anyone can be looking at that, look that up real quick for me. Romans 12, verse 11. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in shaping the focus of a Christian? Last week, remember we had the cane up here? And who was the volunteer that did the cane? Or I volunteered. But it was, y'all remember that? And you was anyone not in here last week? Okay, we had a cane. And Richard comes up, and his focus, you know, it's just a cane. And his focus was on balancing the cane. And as long as he looked at the top, man, he had it 8 seconds. But the same cane, and we focused on the bottom of the cane. What happened to the cane? It was harder to keep. He was going to knock somebody. Same concept. If we ever lose, it can be the same thing, but we lose sight of where our focus should be, it's harder. It's harder to balance our lives. So someone have Romans 12, verse or 11?
Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Okay. Someone else have a different version?
Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord.
Okay, same thing. What is zeal?
Enthusiasm,
energy. What do we control in life? Not a lot of things we control about ourselves, but what do we control in our life?
Our actions.
Our actions?
And our attitudes.
And our attitudes, right. Do we control how disciplined we are?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. That's hard to do. Easy to say, but I control my discipline. I control the way I look at things. You know, that's a fact. What else do we control? Attitude? And we control our zeal or our energy or our discipline, right? There's a story that goes about an old horse named Old Warwick. And as the story goes, anyone ever heard the story Old Warwick? And I bounce around, as y'all know. That's just the way our players look at me sometimes, like, where are you going now? But that's the way it is. I got a lot of fans that think the same thing. Wait a minute. There are a lot of spectators up there that think the same thing. Yeah, just jump in there. And as the story goes, Old Warwick, there's a peddler going down the road, and he has a flat tire. He runs off the road, gets stuck in the mud. And this is before cell phones now, George. And so he thinks, oh, boy, what am I going to do? Well, the good news is I'm out in the country, and I see an old farmhouse in the distance. And I'll walk up to the farmhouse. It's about dark, and he takes off. So first of all, he's in the country. Why does he feel comfortable in the country walking up to a farmhouse? I probably wouldn't feel comfortable in certain parts of this country, right? That's a fact. Okay, so he walks up to the farmhouse, and the old farmer comes out. He looks at the situation. He goes, Old Warwick can get you out of that mud hole. It's an old mule. And the peddler gets back. He goes, well, good. I've got some help. And here comes an old broken down mule. And he's like, oh, boy, I've got this souped up car. There's no way this old mule is going to carry me out of this, pulling me out of this mud. So he hitches Old Warwick up, and Old Warwick pulls that car, and he pulls it out of the mud slowly. But the farmer says, pull, Fred. Pull, Sam. Pull, Ethel. Pull, Old Warwick. And the peddler's looking around going, what is he talking about? There's only one mule there. And he asks the old farmer, he goes, why did you call out all those names? He said, well, Old Warwick thinks he's got to pull the rope here, do his job. And as long as he thinks he's got others around him, he's blind, he can't see, he thinks he can pull his load, and he gives more energy because he's got helpers around him. And our life kind of goes that way. Why do we meet here? Why is our focus on coming here this morning? We could worship at home, couldn't we? I mean, couldn't we?
Yes.
Absolutely. I drive down the road. And I've changed the way I think about things now a little bit more, because I used to say, man, I've got to just sit privately and pray. But I can go down the road, can't I, and say, man, Lord, thank you for this beautiful sunrise. Right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but we come together right now because
Lord,
our folks.
Zap that guy in that music.
Sir?
Lord, please zap that guy in that music.
That's right. But we come, we like people around us because we feed off each other. Fair? And we want to be accountable for one another. Is that fair? So our focus on this morning is, Did I get to come here this morning, or did I have to come here this morning? We used that illustration last week too. But it's all go back to what Richard said. We control our attitude. So with that being said, I want to use this illustration right here on the Holy Spirit. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Jesus doesn't live in us to observe us. He lives in us to occupy us. Think about that concept. Jesus lives in us to what? Not to observe us. He lives in us to occupy us. Now, what does that mean? Observing us and a difference. Is there a difference?
He's involved. He's not just looking on.
Boy, there is one. Involvement. Mm-hmm. Involvement. It's an investment. Right?
Right.
Anyone else? Involvement or occupy or observe. There's a difference. I want to use Christ is our life source. We all agree. All right? He's our life source. The Holy Spirit can inhabit the human spirit, gaining access to the human soul in order to, okay, here we go, teach the mind. We have to train our mind. We have to prepare, right? He lives in us to control our emotions. I have a hard time with that one. Sometimes on Friday nights, it's hard to what? Control your emotions. I have to pray a lot about that personally. I really do. Because there are reactors and there are responders. Now, what do others see in us? Do they see us just being reacting to a situation or responding? Is there a difference?
Yes.
What's the difference? What would be an action and a response? The difference between a reaction and a response?
A response would be helping someone.
Okay.
Reaction would just be,
oh. Yeah, someone else can do that. You know, let me, yeah. What else?
Well, you think about it when you respond.
There you go.
Think about what to do and how to handle it and what to say. You wouldn't just do the first whatever came to you.
So it goes right back to your Christian attitude, your Christian values, right?
One's more disciplined than
the other. One's a lot more disciplined. Now, who controls our discipline? I do. Who controls my energy? The way I look at things? I do. Who controls the way I behave? I do. Right?
Yeah.
So that's where our priority should be. That's where our focus should be. Here's another one with the Holy Spirit. Direct the will. Direct the will. When we come, one of the games that I grew up playing a little bit. Now this is not a Christian priority, so let's change it. One of the Christian, not a Christian game. It's a game, Monopoly. How many of y'all played that game? We all did. You know that game. I looked at it, and Monopoly was invented back in the Depression, wasn't it? Like in the early mid 30s. Is that fair? Okay. What did that game teach us as young kids? What did it teach us?
Put the other guy out of business.
Put the other guy out of business. That's right. What else it teaches? We're always trying to round go to get what?
Money.
$200. The more houses, the more hotels, the more stuff, it's all good. And it took some time to do it, right? Took a lot of time. Yeah. Keeps you out of trouble. But at the end of the day, what? No matter how many times you pass go, how much money you collect, how many hotels or whatever you get, houses, what happens at the end of the day?
It's over.
Where do you put it?
Back in the box.
You put it back, right back in the box. Isn't our life kind of that way? No matter, we can gain, grow, but at the end of the day, when it's over, we're going to put it right back in the box. What can live on forever? No. Absolutely. And so, but why do we put so much value on that stuff? Because the devil wants us to. Fair? I mean, that's the way Satan works. He wants us to, our priorities on stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but we all know that verse. The love of, if it controls us, we all know that one. And that's another story. Okay, the next one was, if we allow it to teach the mind, control the emotions, direct the will, this is going to govern our behavior. Fair? It's going to govern our behavior. Now, this is where I get to use my prop here as I lose everything. Okay, I've got in this sack right here a carrot. I'll take that one first. And I've got coffee beans, and I have an egg, I hope. Yeah. All right. So I've got, what do you know about a carrot? Okay. What do you know about a carrot? Have you seen this one, Dave?
Sir?
Have you ever seen me do this one?
No.
Okay, good. I don't want to bore anybody. It grows under the ground. Okay. What do you know about the structure of a carrot?
It's hard.
It's hard, right? What else?
Brittle,
crunchy. So, did y'all hear that?
It snapped.
It popped. Okay. So, but if I add boiling water to this carrot, what's going to happen? It's going to get salt. It's going to what? Change
the texture,
the taste of the carrot. Fair? That's called adversity. The adversity of the hot water. Okay? It changes it. Now, I can use this egg. What do you know about an egg? I can drop it right now. What's going to happen? It's going to make a mess. It's liquid, right? Okay? But if I boil hot water, if I put hot water and boiled it, we'd have a what? Hard-boiled egg, right? It changes the what?
Texture.
I always look at the Holy Spirit kind of working through us. You know, the old devil's attacking us. He's hitting us hard, right? And we choose to let that hot water changes. What's the word I'm looking for here? It changes the egg, the texture. It's a hard boil, right? Now, I better not drop this one, so I'm going to put it right here so I don't lose it. I'll step on it here in a minute. Okay, coffee beans. I just had a few coffee beans on the bar in our kitchen, and I had to go put them outside because of the...
Strong.
I'm like, whew, man. And I can't even smell that good right now. Okay, coffee beans. If I add boiling water... How many of y'all like coffee, by the way? Yeah, we all do. Why do we like coffee?
Because it's great.
It wakes me up. It gets me going. It kickstarts me, right? It's what?
It's a reaction.
It's a reaction, yeah. So, but if I add boiling water...
Better water for my cooking.
If I add boiling water to coffee, do the beans change the water, or does the water change the bean?
Water changes the beans. I think the beans change the water.
Absolutely, 100% of the time. The bean will change the water every time.
It helps to grind them up, but...
Well, yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. When the devil attacks us, are we a coffee bean or are we a carrot? Are we a coffee bean? Are we an egg? Now think about it. I use this with my football players all the time. Adversity is inevitable. It's going to happen. You got to anticipate what? Adversity. As a Christian, we have to anticipate adversity. I never got the memo that life was just going to be, you know, we're all living happily ever after. So as a Christian, I have to prepare and focus on the things above to keep my priorities in order. And I love this illustration because you can use it in a lot of ways, but remember, I'm visual, and I can get this concept. I can get this concept. So when the devil strikes, or adversity strikes, or times get tough, and I do this all the time, and our players do this, are you a coffee bean or an egg here? You know, let's figure it out. So, to me, that's a pretty good life lesson illustration to use a prop there. So, my question is there a need for self-discipline when setting your priority? If someone would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If someone could look that up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. And then if someone would look up Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And our thought right now is, gave you that visual, is there a need for self-discipline? And I know we all know the answer to this. When setting a priority, does someone have 1 Corinthians 9, Okay,
run. You know that in a race, all runners run, but only one runner gets the prize. So run like that. Run to win. All compete in the games use strict training. They do this so that they can win a prize, one that doesn't last. But our prize is one that will last forever. So I run like someone who has a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. It is my own body. I fight to make it do what I want. I do this so that I won't miss getting the prize myself after telling others about it.
I like those verses. I guess that's the coach in me again. Because there is a prize, right? And you know the tough part today with our kids today, who gets the prize?
Everybody.
Everybody's getting a prize. You show up, you get a what? Yeah. What are they? This is a millennial generation. Okay? I mean, we work and work and work and work. Whether we win first or fifth, I mean, in football playoffs now, they take four teams to the playoffs. There's a reason for that. A lot of it's money. But everybody gets a prize.
And then they go to work and find out that's not true.
That's not the case. Absolutely. So, you see where we go with this? That's something out there in our Christian world today. Because not everybody can win all the time. And the devil's pulling at us, and he knows all this stuff. Right? The next verse was Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2.
Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God.
There's that word faith. How important is faith? It's a fruit of the
Spirit.
Right.
I think about Psalm 127, it says, except that God builds the house, the labor's in vain. And God's got to drive the first nail.
That's right. Yeah. He's always the foundation, right?
Right?
How deep is our foundation? But faith is the fruit of the Spirit, right? What's an attribute of faith is your...
Behavior.
Your character. Who you are when no one's watching. Right? So, how deep and how broad is our faith? It's something to think about, but that's what I always think. You know, there's so much connected with a priority, and just throwing out one of the fruits of the Spirit, faith, which Greg just told us, you know, one of the attributes is your character, and that's why, go back to the egg and the coffee beans and the carrot. Because the world's constantly trying to change our attitude, trying to change our perspective. The devil works through that. And, you know, so what is the role of the Holy Spirit in shaping the focus of a Christian? Pretty important. Absolutely. Have you ever looked at it like that? Really? Maybe? Okay, we got to move along here. I lost all my notes here. The third question. If your life were more focused on Christ, how would it be different? If our life was more focused on Christ, how would it be different? If it wouldn't
be Christ,
sir?
Be more like Christ.
More like Christ? Absolutely.
Less focused on me.
Less focused on me.
I think it'd be a stronger urgency to tell other people.
That's right where we're going.
And where we're going. And you know, if we're looking at the end of the race, you know, heaven, it's changed so much, guys, just in what's taught in our college and what's taught to our kids about heaven and that everybody's going to heaven.
Right. Everybody's winning the prize.
Everybody's winning.
Yep.
And so there's, I feel like there's less and less of a desire to see that,
right.
To see it. And I don't know that we talk about it enough, and then our kids get off to college, and the world is coming in at them, and everybody's going to heaven, you know, if you're good. And if we were more focused on Christ, the end of the race would be right here in front of us.
Right. Because our as parents and grandparents, which I'm excited about, we're going to be in the near future, good Lord willing. But as parents, we want to what? Fix everything, right? Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Pam, you're in the school business. I mean, we want to fix. Parents want to fix everything. Well, I didn't get my research paper paper done, so Mom, fix it, right?
Yeah, but it's also other parents. Oh, you didn't run that up to them?
That's right.
What's wrong with you?
Because here's what. Sometimes we're all competing against everyone else, right? Doesn't that work that way sometimes? And a lot of that stuff's good, but I don't want to get on that. Here's what I want to talk about. Anyone ever heard of Steve Covey?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about Steve Covey? There you go. I was looking at some, and you know, we talked a little bit about habits last week. What's a habit? It's the routine we do every day. And sometimes you really have to focus on that routine because you want to get out of the routine, whatever it may be.
You don't put God first.
That's right. We don't put God first. Remember, I can fix it, right? The only time I'm going to rely on God sometime is, oh boy, this one's a little big, so God, you fix it, right? Wrong perspective. But I was looking through the seven habits of successful people. We all want to be successful Christians. Last week we talked about the essence of a Christian is our prayer life. Fair? Yeah. I mean, that's the essence. That's the aroma. But I was looking at this, the seven habits of successful people, and also in conjunction with that, first things first. So the first thing in our Christian life is
God,
right? And it made me think back in the middle 70s. I was at Abilene Christian and at ACU. I lived in a real small town. But what was real big in the 70s, the bus ministry, right? Y'all remember that? We had a big bus ministry and we had to go get our CDL and all that stuff. And on the side of the bus, I still remember this, and it's a good concept, on the side of the bus was Joy, J-O-Y. Do you remember that? Y'all remember that? Which Joy stood for, I mean, the J stood for
Jesus.
The O stood for others. And the Y stood for
yourself.
Wait a minute. That's backwards, isn't it? Isn't it about me? You know, but that was a good message, right? You know, and I remember that back from the 70s and early 80s. Joy. And it was a good thing for our kids to see. And you talk about it in Sunday school and all that stuff. But I go back to this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. We got a rhyme and a reason here. But if someone would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child.
Okay, hang on. When I was a what?
Child.
I spoke like a
child.
Okay, we got that?
I thought like a child.
I thought like a what?
Child. I reasoned like a child.
There you go. Now you got it.
I put an end to childish ways.
In other words, when I was a child, things were a little bit more what? Simple. Right? Okay. As long as you bring honor to God, as long as you bring honor to your family name, pretty simple concept. Your life's pretty simple. I didn't say easy. But it's pretty simple. I can see that. If I dishonor God, if I dishonor my family name, values, virtues of a Christian, my life gets really, what?
Complicated.
I don't like complicated. Do you?
No.
I mean, just think of it from that perspective. Again, simple doesn't mean easy. It doesn't mean easy. But back to all this stuff. As we've grown older, our life, we tend to get it to be more complicated because it's all about what? It gets more complex, right? We get a job. We get married. We have kids. We have stuff. And so down the road, it seems to get a lot more, I'm not going to say, well, maybe a little more complicated, but I like the word complex. We've learned as we get older, there are a lot more distractions. Fair? So we have to even be more zealous, have more energy in our focus on heavenly things. Fair? It is for me, and I feel like when I do lessons, man, God, you're talking right to me. I mean, you start praying right then and there. Okay, God, I get it. I see it.
More thoughts to God.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's why, if you go back to the beginning, we have to, as Christians, prioritize our time, and we have to prioritize our task. We really have to work at that. Because the world teaches us with our kids. I've raised kids too where it's more, more, more. Compete, compete, compete. Stay up with the Joneses. Go, 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 go. The devil's over there going, congratulations. I'm working. I'm pulling on you right now. Right? Okay? And we can get in. I'm not going to get on that tangent, but you used to never play sports on Wednesday nights. Right? That got in. Now you're playing sports on what? Sunday. That got in. We can all justify, but it is what it is. I deal with kids every day, and, you know, we have more injuries than everything else today because kids specialize in one sport. And they play it all the time. They use same muscles, and they get hurt, and they blame somebody else. But that's a fact. That's what's happening. I mean, that's what happens. And it's a good comparison. But anyway, okay, back to Steve Covey. Got off there a little bit. But illustrations. The one I took was the clean and green story. Now, the clean and green story. Steve Covey basically looked at his yard one day, and he had a son. And his son, he said, you know what? We're going to prioritize this deal. And instead of just mowing it, when I used to mow the yard back in the day, Skip, did you ever sweep it off? Did y'all ever do that, sweep it off? See, I didn't. I just mow it.
Not as kids.
No, not as kids. You just mowed it. Grass went everywhere. You didn't weed eat. You didn't edge. You just kept it down. Fair?
Right.
Okay. Well, what do we do today?
Everything.
We manicure.
Manicure.
Meticulously done, right?
Keep up with the Joneses.
That's right. But, I mean, my point in all this is we prioritize, that we put a priority on the clean and green where I'm going to do all the stuff, right? But what are we teaching ourselves right there? I have a goal. I have a vision. I'm more particular. And what his point was, he was teaching his son in this situation how significant habits were. Attention to detail is. How about as a Christian? Does our life show attention to detail in what we do? If someone would look at Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. How significant is it in our Christian walk that we pay close attention to detail in the things that we do? And I always think the clean and green story about that yard. Someone have that verse, chapter Matthew 6, verse 33.
But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Keep first things what? First. Keep first things first. Joy, Jesus, right? Okay, the second thing in Steve Covey's book, and I like this illustration, think of a container that you're putting rocks in. What usually pulls us down every day? Is it the big things or the little things?
Little.
And for me, it's the little stuff. It's all that little stuff that really doesn't matter, but it pulls us down. Fair? What do you know about a container of rocks? If I put big rocks in a container, can I add the little rocks and they'll filter in? What if I put the little rocks in there first? Will the big rocks fit in that container? No. Isn't that the way our life goes? Okay. One of God's greatest gifts to me, for example, are my kids. Is that fair? Our family? I mean, those are, what a blessing in life. But you know what? How many times as parents are we guilty of, well, I'm going to take the kids for granted. All this little stuff out here is going to distract me more than that. Maybe none of us. I don't know. But, you know, stuff gets in the way. So the point in all this is think of life like that. Don't let those little things in life keep your priorities where they need be, and keep your focus where it needs to be. Does that mean class is over?
Sorry.
Oh, no. the third one, and how much time do we have?
About a minute.
The third one, I want to get on. Okay, so we've got the clean and green story. We've got the what? The rocks in the container story mindset. The third one that I got from this is called answering your phone in your office. And I'm thinking to myself, this thing right here wears me out. Does it you? Mm-hmm. And in today's world, when you're visiting with someone, whether it be at dinner with your family or whether you're in your office at work, when it rings and you answer it, what do you think the person around you feels like?
You're ignoring them.
You know what? This stuff over here is a lot more important than what? It's a lot more important than you. That's what we're saying. We don't intentionally do it and mean it. Maybe my son or daughter or wife or someone's talking to me in the phone. Hang on a minute. What is that? Are my priorities in order? And we wonder why we have adversity sometimes. Because guess who created it? I created it. And you know what? The devil's over there going, congratulations, you took it again. I slapped you right in the face and you took it again. Now, I call it answering the phone because who's always with us? Always, 100% of the time. God. 100% of the time. God's always with us. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? That's pretty comforting. 100% of the time, God's always with us. The most important person that's always with us is God. So, you know, after reading and looking through this last week, you train your mind a little bit, your routine, that phone would go off and I'd have someone in there. And it was really difficult for me not to look at it. It really was. It was hard, I'm telling you. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to look at it. But I think of that. And what triggered my thought from that, I'd say, okay, God's talking to me right now. That's the way I looked at it. How focused can I be right now? And anyway, that's kind of the way my mind works. I don't know how. I've really enjoyed this. I've got a few more things here. But at the end of the day, we started, keep the end in mind. Always, we behave just like we believe. And our priorities are always going to dictate our actions. 100% of the time. Wow. Perfect timing. Hey, I really appreciate you being here this morning. Let's take the I get to attitude rather than I have to attitude. We're blessed in so many ways. And you know what? One thing I found out in life with priorities, we can try as hard as we want to. There's one thing I can promise you in life. Can we ever outgive God?
No.
You never can. That's special. We are special folks because we have God leading the bus. He's the driver. We're on the bus. And that's comforting. You feel safe. You know, I always used to like to ride with my dad when he drove the car, and I'd lay over there and go to sleep because I trusted he's going to get there. I got buddies I wouldn't shut my eyes 2 seconds with. You know? But, you know, he's driving.
You know?
No.
How do you still feel that way with your dad?
Absolutely. I really do. He's 84 years old. But you know what? It's funny. You asked that. I went to the farm the other day over Christmas break. He gets in the truck. I said, you want me to drive? He said, I'll drive. I said, good. He said, you don't trust my driving? I said, oh, absolutely, Dad. I tell you. So, we'll end with a word of prayer, and thanks for coming. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for being our driver, Lord. And Father, we pray that we would always put emphasis on you first and us a distant third, Father. And that's really hard to do. Father, we pray that you would be with us as we go out throughout this service. Help us always put you again first in our life. Bless us, Lord, with health. Bless us with the ability to focus on your word. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.